So guys, as you might not know, this is our last episode. We loved having you join us for our little talks with our guests, Sam, Saul. It's been an entire year. Like Sam's mentioned before, it's been a roller coaster. Anything to add to that real quick before we move on?
And first of all, I just want to say this episode gets a little bit deeper than some of the other episodes. We get into mental health and a bit of a deep note. So for people out there that may be in the car with your parents and maybe you don't want to get into a deep podcast, or for some people that are dealing with their own issues and may not feel comfortable, maybe this is not an episode that you are going to feel comfortable listening to. So there is a warning that comes attached to this episode. I also want to mention, unless Saul's got something else you want to mention in regards to that.
No, yeah. I mean, the conversation did start off a little bit slow, but ended way deeper than probably any other episode we've had. So,
yeah, very. It did end very deep, that's for sure. Mm. I just wanted to mention, we talked about episode 52. We were going to read out some reviews, 5-star reviews that we got. This was sent to me in a DM. It was a very long review and I'm not going to read it out in its entirety, but it came from a listener. I don't even know how you'd pronounce this name. Snigda Raju from Hyderabad in India said it's her absolute favorite podcast. But listen to all the dive pods as well. But this one really, really suits my taste. And I really think it's highly underrated and a gem of a podcast. Sometimes I post Instagram stories to make it known to to make it known to people I know. Other times I want it to be a treasure not too many people know of, and the clout will lead to nitpicking or something of that sort. I really appreciate Sam, Dave, and Saul for all the good work you do. Dave is the relatable millennial that represents the like more introverted demography. Saul is the life of the party. His energy is really funny and light. I'm really glad he became a regular on the show. And Sam is always the anchor that brings back the conversation to its flow and asks the important questions and gives his witty and knowledgeable insights. It's just beautiful to hear your conversation flow the way it does. I really feel comforted in the dynamic you guys have. I've almost never known a guest on your show, and I really love that. I can just listen to their news stories with a clean slate of mind. It's really, really fascinating. It gives the listener this delusional feeling that you're our friends. You always do such a good job as hosts, and the guests always feel so comfortable and get them talking about really nice and deeply light and lightly deep topics. And then went on to say, and when you have male guests, like I said, as a girl, I really feel like I'm voyeuristically eavesdropping on a couple of cool guys just having a wonderful conversation and a jolly good time. I love that you guys go just into the right amount of deepness without going into politics and religion topics that are too heavy. Always just giving us food for thought. So,
nice.
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool review.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that
and
review.
Also, I came from India, of a place I didn't expect we'd have a great deal of listeners from. But
It's such a damn shame.
Absolutely.
No, you know what? Like even on my Discord, I told people, I've said on my Twitch, we're coming up on the end of our podcast. And there were dozens of people who are like, that's so unfortunate. That's so unfortunate. I listen to this podcast religiously. It's so different from the other podcasts. It's if people even knew how different it was or the conversations we talk about. And it's such a damn shame, in my opinion, how that, you know, first of all, I feel bad for Diane. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for a lot of the people that believe in this podcast, because if you just take the second to listen, there's a lot of stuff you can learn, a lot of stuff that comes from experience. A lot of good, and we're good people. You're not listening to people who treat other people poorly. We're decent people that, you know, have lived in Korea for a long time, and we've had very different experiences. You know, our podcast is a little bit different in terms mm-hmm. of what we talk about and in terms of our background.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't like right when this started, but my like career as a musician here was like at an all-time high, you know, being on TV and stuff. And the TV show that I was on, it finished like the end of November. And it was like, you know, like we were getting more money for shows and, you know, I was able to like be a full-time musician. And then Corona started like a month later. And I was really disheartened by it because I kind of was like, yeah, this is what I've been working for my whole life. Like strangers taking pictures of me, mm-hmm. like real fans finally here. And I was rapping in Korean and I was really just my career looked like it was about to take off in a way that I had wanted it to for a long time. And, you know, because of Corona, all that came to an end. Black Moss left Korea. And Dave just like immediately was like, hey, don't worry, I got you. Let's make YouTube videos together. Me and Sam are about to start a podcast. You can be on it. And it just brought me so much life. I just was really grateful to have something to look forward to when I was thinking that I didn't know what was coming next. Dave really helped me out as he tries to help out a lot of people. So for me, it was an awesome experience. I just love talking and you know what I mean?
I remember you
do this for free.
So I was like, yeah, this is like the highlight of my week coming in here.
Yeah.
Like that was a while back. And then it's kind of like, and then we've come to this stage and it's like, I guess for me, I feel the worst for Saul. Like it's like, I know how much you enjoyed coming in here every week. And it was just like, you know, I know every time Saul came in, he was just so hyped to be in here. And especially being that you're a performer and because of everything that's happening with COVID. Yeah. I think under the circumstances, it's unfortunate. Would I change anything? Would I go back and no, I'd do it again. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I had a blast. Dave's just more of like a realist about like, about these kind of things. And that's why the show is cool.
Change things. Yeah, sure. Change small things. But I wouldn't go back and say, no, I'm not doing that again. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Do it again. I wouldn't do it again in the COVID situation. I think we could have waited it out. COVID ended and then really do it the right way. But how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like even now, when do we know when COVID's going to end? It's, you know.
Exactly. It's there's too many factors to, it's what ifs.
Don't worry.
And it's no reason.
When COVID ends, season two.
And I probably should mention, I like turtles. I've been wanting to find the time to say that. You know that video, right?
You know what's funny? Like, I was mentioning Diane, but like, it's like a bunch of, like, for example, Andreas and like Wolf and stuff have gone on to, you know, talk to Diane outside of the podcast. And I mean, Andreas, he told me he went to you for advice on stuff like that. You know, Wolf literally started something new here. And like, there's not enough appreciation for her. So if you guys don't know, Diane is back there, like moving the conversations, helping us. I don't know. It's just, I have a lot of respect for you. And I told you outside of this, I'm going to be hitting you up a lot more for ideas and stuff like that. So I think there should be some appreciation for Diane because she was the first person I went to about this, believe it or not. I had a podcast with Jay and I was like, hey, you know, I kind of like this podcast. I did one with Jamie. It did pretty well. I had one with Jay. People liked it. So I was like, hey, you know, this could work. Sam Hamilton's a boy of mine. And he wants to do something like this, you know. And Diane listened and she set it up. And so, I mean, there should be nothing but appreciation out there for you. Thank you, Diane, for doing this. At least we came out of this saying we did do a podcast. That's cool. Who can say that?
Yeah.
And 52 episodes.
We got like a full year. Like a lot of people come, I'm doing a podcast and like six episodes later, they're like, fuck it. I'm not doing that shit anymore.
Yeah. I learned how this works too. Mm-hmm. I learned how it's not as easy as it. Now, some people watch podcasts, successful podcasts, and they're just talking. How easy is that? It's not as easy as it looks. Catch me on Twitch. I have conversations with people similar to this. I want to get these two. If you guys are down, sometimes we'll do some live talks.
Yeah, for sure.
People enjoy it. Of course, my YouTube is always there. So YouTube's going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I'll be with Sam and Dave doing some stuff. Got an album coming out hopefully soon.
Support his album.
Yeah. It's going to be called Blue. An album by
Sam.
Ryan.
You can find him on billboards. And you guys don't realize how big Sam is in Korea. Y'all are fools.
You can find me on Instagram. Yeah. If you want to find me there.
If you want to cash me outside.
Cash me outside.
We're here with Jonathan, the zombie. Jonathan, what do you have to say for yourself? I like turtles. This is Nonsensical.
Shave your head.
Yeah, because I don't want to touch my hair and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Feels good. I think I'm going to be like this for at least 5 years.
It's hot boy summer. You know, we got to shave off these, get our hairs shaved. I'm going to have it like this in the winter, but.
I actually like the shaved head. I wish I could go the shaved head look.
Why can't you?
Well.
You got a funny shaped head?
No, I've got actually quite a decent shaped head. It's just, you know, there are people out there that want me to have hair on my head.
Oh, okay.
You know, people that pay my bills, unfortunately.
When's the last time you guys hung out, Woo and Dave?
Not the last time, last podcast. I've been busy as hell too.
Oh, yeah?
I think both of us have been busy.
Yeah. And you said you're not really dancing much these days, right?
No, I dance a lot these days.
You are dancing a lot. Why did you say?
Oh, he said he quit that. As a career.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. I thought you did. That's why I was confused when Diane said that you had quit dancing.
No,
What did you quit?
No, like he used to
back
be.
In the days.
He used to be like a professional dancer. Like that used to be everything. His job, the only thing he did. And now
he's dancing
for
the enjoyment
in that
of it.
Field anymore. Uh-huh. As in, like he's not running that his entire life through that.
Okay.
Now Wu does, as a profession, you're now DJing. You're now choreography. Are you still doing choreography? Or is it more just stage direction?
My job right now?
Yeah.
DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
The stage directing and stuff like that. And I have to make a film. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon. I already made two and I wrote a script for one and I got to make another one pretty soon. And yeah, I do stuff here and there, man.
Yeah, so last time… I remember last time we were talking about movies, directing movies. That's kind of the direction you were talking about getting into. But dancing professionally, that is something you've quit completely.
I quit a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's a long ass story. If I get to hold on,
we've got time.
Back. I started dancing when I was like 24, 25. And then I stopped around when I was like 35, you know. And so later in my life, so much stuff happened. And the main thing was because I was in a, it's not that I stopped dancing, I just got out of the
industry.
The industry. I don't know if I should say industry, but the field that I was in, you know, which mm-hmm. was the street dance in Korea. Mm-hmm. You know, so the street dance genre was like popping, locking, hip hop, house, crump, and b-boying. You know, that's like the main dance. And I've done a lot for the scene. You know, it's before YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody has done more opened up competition than I did in Korea with the street dance. You know, I've opened up so many competitions just with my money, you know, and I was doing it almost like every other month.
You would like hold your own competitions and have people come compete?
Yeah. So if it's like a rap battle, I'll have a rap battle competition every once a month or once in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know? And so I was doing that for years after I made some name on myself for other kids to do it, you know? But after, you know, a lot of years, so I was judging a lot too. And I was doing solo performance. And I noticed like things weren't changing. You know, things were like, I've noticed like other fields, everything was progressing with the money and just everything. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this scene wasn't changing at all. So I think they just got comfortable doing the same stuff over and over again without trying to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And there were like final three moments that happened. The final three stages that I got that I performed, it just made me blow up. The final one, I think it just added from 1, 2, 3, you know.
Yeah.
And so the last performance that I did while I was performing with other dancers, about like 36 seconds later, the music starts going crazy. The sound system, something blew up. It was just the music was coming out and this noise at the same time was coming out. It was just like. You know? And I'm performing, right?
Oh, you were in the middle of like a dance when that happened? Yeah. Oh shit.
So I'm like, so DJ's not stopping the music. So I'm just going. So I'm not sure like if I should stop or not, you know? And I just kept going out of subconscious, I think, you know. And I was like breathing hard at the same time too, you know?
Yeah.
But And the music started going lower and lower. And the other sounds started getting louder and louder. And at that time, the other dancers had to come in and perform together. So I was performing alone. And the other dancers come in and we're all performing together, you know. So I think that was like the longest 5 minute of performance that I did in my life, you know. But we finished it, you know. But it just… I think I was young too. That's why. But I just had a lot of stuff inside boiled up. And it just kind of blew up that
day. What were you thinking as that was happening? Like as all that noise?
I don't know, man.
Were you just angry?
I don't know. Like I trace back, it was just… Man, I don't know.
Was it like panic, anxiety sort of feeling?
I don't know. I was on stage, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. This is like… We've talked about this between you and I. But you say that there's… In that field, while you were doing… There's a lot of drama too, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff also kind of pushed you away as well? Some of the drama?
Yeah, I think everything just boiled up together, you know. And I think there's drama in every subculture genre. Mm.
But while not evolving and creating drama, that must cause even more stress, right? Like you say, the field wasn't evolving as well and people were not, you know, trying to progress the field of work. So that must stress you out as well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it all depends on a person, but when you do a solo performance or a judge performance or a group performance, you know, some people, they just freestyle and, you know, they don't get prepared for anything and they just do it. If it's good for them, it's good, you know, but I'll choose a song and I'll dance over and over again for hours and hours until that day, you know, so I mean, just a lot of hours, you know. Mm. And I was doing that for years. Like, my body was getting weary, you know. And I was just… my personality is I'll try to make it almost perfect in my eyes. Where I feel… Like, I feel free on stage, you know. And yeah, everything just… It just added up, you know. And… I mean, this is kind of with the subject and off the subject, but yeah, with the drama too. We, you know, I think we do those things like, you know, the stuff you're doing with music or the stuff that I've done with dancing. We're just, we got out of the box, right? Because we wanted to be free from this box, from the society, right? And then we get out. and there's another, we go into another box and I want to try other stuff or events from that box, right? And at that time, they were holding me more, you know what I mean?
Hold you down?
Yeah, because they don't want me to get out of this box, you know? So I'm trapped in another box. I noticed that from a lot of subculture too, from other things, you know, whether it be, you know, whatever, tattoo or whatever subculture, you know.
Especially like, in Korea, right? Like don't Korean, a lot of Korean people like to separate their musicians and their actors and their, like the fans like want you to be a certain thing and stay that way, right?
I think it's like that everywhere. I think it's, I mean, I've never been to the States after I've been deported, but you know. It seems like it's like that everywhere, you know.
I have a question then. You know, since I'm in a newer field than dance, you know, the content creator is a newer field. So I guess we started with a little bit more freedom, but something like dance. Like back in the day, I know you like to try new things. Even with the 4 or 5 years I've known you, you've gone, you ended up being a DJ. You're doing movies now. You've done a little bit of everything. When you were doing dance back in the day, were there people in that field that when you were thinking about doing other things, were there other people in that field that had creative ideas that wanted to branch out and try new things, but they were criticized or people like, what the fuck is that guy doing? What's wrong with that guy? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why is he breaking our pattern that we know? Are there people that were like insulted or criticized?
There were a lot of people like that. I mean, a lot of dancers like that, even in like b-boy scene and but locking scene is pretty cool. You know? They're like pretty much happy. You know?
They always look happy. Yeah. Have you ever seen lockers?
Yeah. Like this?
Yeah. They always smiling too. Like
locking scene is fun. That shit looks fun as hell.
Yeah, locking scene is pretty cool, and I'm still friends with a lot of locking dancers. You know,
and. You heard it here first, folks.
Dancers are the only dancers
left.
Locking dancers are cool with each other, and bebop dancers, they're cool with each other because there are some the small amount, you know.
Yeah, bebop, it's a smaller.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
1 second. Okay. Go on.
Yeah.
It's such a small community, though, obviously, with bebop.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously not as much drama.
No drama. Probably no drama. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I haven't met all of them, but it's probably like 20 of them, you know.
Man, your robot 20, was 30. Looking hella rusty last week.
You probably have met all of them if you think about it.
Yeah, but probably almost all of them. There's only like 20, 30, I think. Yeah. But like these days, I noticed like some dancers are getting into it, you know. Like my teacher, he's been teaching… I think he taught twice recently, but he haven't taught for a while either, you know. But I think people are interested, like some dancers. So I practiced with some lockers who are interested in the UK jazz. It's also called UK jazz. Yeah.
What I think about it is now that people are stuck inside because of COVID, there's a lot more people watching YouTube, as well as they have these in Korea. It's kind of like right now. Fad to do these one-time classes. Your girlfriend likes to do those.
Baking, cooking.
She does a ton of those. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen stuff for dance as well. A lot of these, like a little one-time classes, especially more niche markets.
Yeah, my girl does like a drum lesson 1 week, and the next week we'll learn like pole dancing, and then she does like a different kind of
just
class.
One class.
But with drumming, she really, really liked it. So we did like a, not wakeboarding, paddleboard. We did like a one-day paddleboard class.
Mm-hmm.
Like went out on the Han River together.
That's cool. So,
yeah, it's cool.
I have a question, Wu. You like to… So like I mentioned earlier, briefly. When I… Maybe it was like two years ago, Wu was like, yo, I'm gonna learn how to DJ. I'm like… All right, dude, and you do that. A year later, he's DJing and he's, according to a lot of people, like very talented. And if he wants to do something, he does something. Well, what's something… I know you're in a film now. You know, you've taken up tap dancing, jazz dancing. You've done all this stuff. So if you go into a time chamber and you get a year to learn something else outside of dancing, DJing. What is the thing? So they're like, you have a year, a chamber, you'll have all the necessary materials you need. What's some random thing that you could learn?
I actually started already.
What is it?
Saxophone.
Oh, sick.
Actually, I was blowing it on, right. in my car too, you know.
That's right.
Wow. While I was coming here.
It's so hard, right? Even
you're
to make it make
the
a
saxophone
sound.
In Gekko, your car while you
Gekko
were coming here.
Gifted you the saxophone, right?
Yeah, Gekko and artist named Kimoki.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both bought me for a birthday gift.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, they were like, what do you want? So I want a saxophone, you know. Because recently… recently…
very specific gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, because recently I went to watch… Kimoki… his… his performance, you know, I mean, his little concert that he did. Because, you know, there can't be a lot of people, but there was, I think he's allowed to do it in a certain space of 50 or 60 people or something like that. So I went there. And it was my first time watching him live. And I think it was one of the best concerts that I went, even though it was a small one. Yeah, it was, and after I watched him, I'm gonna learn this shit. You know? Yeah. I mean, I might not do it professionally, but I just want to feel what he's feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you take it out, and you can barely even make a sound with it, right?
Yeah, at first you can't.
It's so crazy.
You can't make any sound, you know.
Yeah, my brother got a saxophone on Christmas morning the last time I was in America, like 4 years ago, and pulled that shit out and. You think that you're just going to be able to blow in it and make sounds and then you press the button. But you have to like really hold like your lips in the right way.
So what I'm doing right now is… he told me just to blow on the front part. You know, not the bottom.
That's what she said.
That's all
that's
I've been
what
doing.
She said.
Woo! So that's what you're blowing in the car?
Yeah.
So you're… Going. Okay. Okay. When you said you're… you're playing it in the car. I'm envisioning you playing the full saxophone while trying to drive. I'm like, that's an accident waiting to happen right there.
Only Woo.
I'm on a late.
I want to play saxophone at the same time.
Shit, I might do it later on. You know? But I'm just on a baby level, you know. Like even with tap dancing, I don't think I've started because I want to do it professionally. But I just want to… because I like watching it so much. Mm-hmm. I just want to know how it feels. It feels good. You know, besides being, you know, really difficult.
Feels good.
It feels good.
He likes to have sax. Get it? I want to roll today.
Get him,
life's
soldier.
Good when you have a sax.
Get him, cowboy.
Favorite thing in life? Sax.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, Will.
What's it like to have a sax?
I don't know. I've never had sax.
You've never had a sax?
Never had… All right, sorry. We got to shut up. All right, let's stop.
I was just going to get… on that question you just asked Wu, briefly, if you could go and do that, put yourself in a similar situation.
Learn anything?
Yeah.
Dance.
Dance.
That's like the one thing I can't do. Mm-hmm. I can do everything. Okay. I literally can do everything.
Okay, Jedi Master.
No, it's I can play all sports. I'm good at sports. Mm-hmm. I can edit.
Tennis?
I mean, cool sports. I can edit. Who cares
golf.
About fucking baseball? Baseball. Okay. Can edit. I'm good at computers. I can play games. I can do a little bit of everything, but I cannot dance. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to. I see people dance, and I'm like, cringe. But at the same time, I'm low key jealous. Mm-hmm. So, I would learn how to dance, even to be able to move my body in a way that people are like, oh, that guy knows what he's doing. Even if it's not to a dancer's perspective, you know, skilled dancing, at least like, oh, that guy has some sort of rhythm.
Plus, you know, women do find men that can dance very well sexy.
I know. I went on vacation with our boy Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Gwangju. And you can dance there because it's all religious. He was like dancing and then girls were just like… look at… and he dances, you know, he dances the kind of shit that would be like… the shit you see like on TikTok and stuff. But even then, like, you know, like this kind of shit, you know, the shit you don't like that kind of shit. He's like, whatever. But, you know, even then, you know, girls were like, oh, he's so cute. He's cool. Look at him dance. And I'm like, okay.
It's like cringe.
I'm like, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck. But then I'm like cringe. But then I can't even do that. I can't even do bleh, bleh, bleh. I can't even do that shit. I can't do this shit. I can't even do that. So if I had a year, I would learn to dance. You saw.
Yeah, well, that is like the one thing that I really hate. Maybe I would take like a public speaking class. I'm so…
You get a year, dude.
Man, I don't know. I'm scared as shit to talk in front of large groups of people. I can rap and I can like talk in between the songs. But I don't know. Dance or learn how to speak in front of people. Or maybe some carpentry.
That'd be cool. That's bad.
Learn how to make like a house in the woods.
Carpentry's cool.
That could be cool. Yeah.
Carpentry's
cool. My brother's doing that with like the COVID shit. He's learning. He like made his girlfriend a loom the other day. Do you know what a loom is, right? Yeah, he made his girlfriend a fucking…
Like loom for like…
Sewing. Yeah.
Sewing?
He made her one.
Wow.
Yeah. And he asked us like for Mother's Day for us to like throw in money for him to buy lumber. To like fix our patio in the back. I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Some nice wood.
Yeah. Wood.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
Looks like you want to learn how to deliver mail.
You gotta have some serious calf muscles for that, right?
I think I always wanted to learn how to sing properly. Like I don't know how to use my voice.
I almost said that.
That's
like
if you can't do it, you can't do it.
That's not true.
That's not true.
It's a muscle, man.
It is true.
No, if you there are vocal trainers that can teach you how to like actually teach you how to use your voice, and I think you know if you get the vocal coaching, it's something you can do.
You're right.
Either that, or I think I'd appreciate having a year to learn how to invest in stock market, and yeah,
that'd like be smart, dude. Do you ever think about that, Sam?
Yeah.
Like I'm so late to the party with Bitcoin and stocks. Like if I had just even taken a little bit of time 4 years ago.
And that's kind of where that comes from. It's just like, wow, if you know, 12 months go back in time and it's like, yeah.
Can somebody make up a new thing so I can invest? Like not crypto or stocks, just a new
NFT. Well, NFT just blew up recently. There's always something new around the corner.
Compound interest is the most powerful force in nature.
What'd you call me?
Really, you guys, if you have a lot of money, you should just put it, like, just let it sit in an account that gets good interest. And
have you seen the interest rates?
Index funds, mutual funds,
banks.
Shit that you don't pay attention. It's too risky to go in the stock market. You have enough money that you could do some risk, but you could just invest in index funds and then take it out when you're 65. That'll be worth millions.
Oh, man. I'm harder working than I was 10 years ago. And that, you know, goes to show to some extent I manage people, which I couldn't do 10 years ago. You know, I take care of people.
You could barely manage yourself 10 years ago.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, exactly. 10 years ago, I could barely take care of myself. I didn't have any. But now I'm, you know, I'm cleaner and everything. More than anything, though, there's one thing that changed about me. Like 10 years ago… I used to, you know, you guys don't have a temper. I used to burn bridges easily and like say what I thought and people didn't like it. And then I changed that, but then I regretted changing it. So now I just burn bridges again. And I think that's a good idea because…
Give the man some matches.
Because what happens is, listen, what happens is every person I thought was a piece of shit… Or every person I thought was a morally bad person. Because I have moral standards. You both of you know that. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of moral standards. Every time I think that guy's a piece of shit, it ends up getting out that they are a piece of shit. And I've realized I have a good judgment of character. And every time I've burned a bridge, that person's ended up doing something bad. I can't name names. But almost every person that I've been like, that guy's a piece of shit. He ends up being a piece of shit. And even though I'm one of the few people that goes out and tells people, like, if I don't like when something's happened, I say, like, I don't like that. You're a shitty person. And then they're like, and then they they end up being a shitty person. So I used to not do, I stopped doing that. I used to say like, don't just keep that shit to yourself. But then if nobody says anything ever, then they get away with it. So fuck them. Fuck them. I'm glad I tell people this shit now. I don't care anymore. But yeah, that changed. So I guess I changed and then I unchanged. Yeah. But other than that, I'm cleaner, I guess. What about you, Sam? 10 years ago.
Ten years ago. Where are we? 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago, I was probably…
He owned a bar. No.
Right?
No, he started… No, that was before.
I was probably not in the most… I'd like to think I was not the most responsible of people. Financially. And just across the board, I think I was just living life the way I thought… Yeah, I didn't see a long-term future for myself in terms of my career and in terms of my relationship. And personally, I just didn't see where my life was going. And it was like everything was about tomorrow and today. That's all I was looking for. And it was like going out and drinking and partying and hanging out with friends. And that's all I was thinking about. So work was always there and I was working, but 2011, I probably wasn't enjoying work as much and I probably wasn't working as hard. Yeah, I think having in that 10-year period, I've got married, I've had kids, things have changed completely. So it's kind of, that's allowed me to kind of refocus everything and change my priorities completely. And I think for me, it's just move the goalposts. Changing your priorities allows you to kind of, you know, otherwise, I think I said it to my wife the other day, if we didn't have kids, I don't even know if I'd be alive today. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I was pissing my life up against the wall. I wasn't really doing anything. I was going out and working. I was making money. I was earning a living. But what was I really living for? I didn't feel like I was living for anything of any great importance.
Were you with your wife then? How long have you been with her?
Well, I was in a relationship. Our relationship wasn't great and it was on and off. But I just didn't like, you know, I didn't even have the thought of buying property. I didn't have long-term goals in place. There was nothing there. So I was just like, whatever, you know. I'll just go out and get drunk with my friends and we'll see what happens. And that's all life was. I don't think I had money in the bank.
You were in the prime of your twilight of your 20s. That's
10 years ago. I was in my 30s.
Well, yeah, but early 30s. I mean,
yeah, I know. I guess, but even so, I think, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, for me, I probably regret not having focused on prioritizing things a little earlier in life.
Okay. That's still, I mean, you took the right, your timeline was pretty appropriate, to be honest, to be fair. So I don't think you should, yeah.
I don't beat myself up about it. But going back then, looking back 10, you know, we're talking about 10 years ago. So yeah. Huge difference. In my life, it's been a complete turnaround.
Even for like 3 years ago for me though, I was… Even up until like 2 years ago, Wu and I were drinking a lot, right? Even until we were drinking a lot, you know.
Not much anymore.
I don't drink much. Same.
What made you stop?
Well, because I'm not working in nightlife anymore. Because I was involved in club business before, so I was out most of the time. I mean, almost every day at night, you know. But I'm not doing the club business anymore, so…
You miss it?
Not really. Yeah.
I miss you, but I don't miss the drinking that much.
Are you generally an early morning person?
Now I am.
Okay.
But I wasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I used to always sleep around 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
But these days I wake up around like 9:30, 10.
I feel like I wouldn't know. I don't know the amount of like affection that people like are able to show, or the amount of like honesty that people are able to show when they drink, is something that I just like. I really want in my life. Like there's lots of reasons why I'd like to stop drinking, like the calories, whatever. But sometimes like the only way that you can like open up with somebody is if you share a couple of drinks. That's like the thing that I love the most about like Korean dinner is like. Everybody's eating the same thing and everybody's a little bit loose, you know, and is able to like talk in a way that you can't really do and or a lot of people can't do when they're sober. Maybe you can. If everyone could like get on that kind of level of honesty and open up the way they do when they drink, I guess I wouldn't really feel the need to. But I think it's kind of scary to think about not drinking.
Is that a cultural thing though?
I don't know.
Like, well, okay.
It could be a family thing too.
So, think back to your friends and family back in the States. Can you relate to them like without drinking to that on that level?
Because we've drank together so much. I don't know. I think. I'm not saying me necessarily. Like I have no problem like having a heart-to-heart sober or not sober. But I'm mostly saying like the people around me. I mean, it's… There are a lot of people who you never get to know the deep parts of them if they aren't drinking. I think
you get that because your hangovers aren't that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your hangovers are bad, it doesn't matter
it's not worth it.
What beautiful conversation you have the next day. If you feel like dying, it's not worth it. I can't enjoy a drink because
you're worried about what's coming.
Even if I don't worry about it the next day, I literally don't see the point of getting up and continuing because it's so miserable.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And then,
some people get them really bad, right?
You know, I get them bad. I hate everything. And I get a hangover. Well, what do you think is different about you 10 years ago, Wu, than it is now? In terms of, I guess, mentally or psychologically?
I think the biggest difference was I couldn't learn anything 10 years ago. It was hard for me to…
Absorb?
Yeah. I think everything is just pretty much in order these days. Yeah. And emotionally too. I think I have more patience.
Yeah.
Because if somebody tests me, I was quick to just fire on them too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because I hate people testing me in any way, you know?
That's probably a reaction from being in prison, right? You kind of have to like protect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened before when I was locked up, you know, because the environment that I was living in. Yeah, I just don't like people testing me in any way, you know. Yeah. But these days, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's not that important anymore.
I've seen people test one. But that's the same. Okay. Like that's his reaction.
And you're probably confident enough now to know that if people are testing you, it's because they're not confident, right? You have like hundreds of women being like, I want to have your baby.
I don't even think that far. I just, you know.
Just laugh at
I off. Just have to go do what I have to do, you know.
That's pretty badass that you don't think that far. That means you literally don't give a fuck about the person that's testing you.
Yeah. Do you think you're happier
and
now?
I'll forget about it within probably like not even a minute.
Are you happier now? Yeah, that's a good question.
Are you happier now? Or than you were 10 years
ago? I'm way happier now.
Yeah.
Way, way much happier right now.
Happy woo.
How did you do it? How'd you change?
How did I change?
Yeah. No, that's a good
question.
It was
question, a man. long progress, you know?
Yeah.
Like…
Did you just get tired of the shit?
I don't know how it works with the brain, but probably there's a part in our brain where it develops like a muscle. You know, like for example, we like to play with certain things or listen to certain things when we're young, and eventually that changed.
Yeah,
and probably we're probably going to be listening to different music 5 years later, and 10 years later, 20 years later, we're probably going to just completely listen to different stuff. You know, I think because that part of the brain develops, and I guess that patient part of my brain developed, and yeah,
and testosterone levels going down too, right? Because when you're like in your 20s and 30s, like late 20s, like, yeah, testosterone can make you make a lot of stupid decisions, right?
Yeah, probably. That's chemical too. Chemically too, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the way I've changed is…
aggressiveness levels definitely go down.
I've realized the importance of like being aware of how I'm feeling emotionally now. And because I've like lived with my own brain for long enough, I know the depths that like I can go. Like this side of me, if I let a certain thought take me this way, I'm going to be really fucking pissed off. If I let like this thought continue to like unravel and eat itself, like that'll make me super anxious. This is going to make me sad. This is going to make me depressed. And like the moment that I have like a negative thought now, I just walk away from everything and just like go for a walk and be like, why are you so sad today? Why are you depressed? What is causing this? And be like, oh, it's because of like something Dave said on the phone to me a week ago and I didn't fucking… Or like, oh, it's something that somebody said that criticized me for this. And instead of like thinking about why it made me upset, I just sort of like tried to walk it off. I can like block my brain from allowing it to go to these like extremes of emotion and try to sort of just be at peace.
That's a good ability.
I think if you can do that, you're kind of in a lucky place because there are a lot of people out there that can't do that. I think there are a lot of people out there that still have their Achilles heel tends to be, they tend to lean on things like alcohol. Mm-hmm. I think for me, having children, it's a little bit more difficult because you have to try and maintain that level of sanity because you can't let the walls crumble down because they're watching you.
You could damage them, yeah.
You have to keep your shit in check because you know if you have a bad day, that is going to have some kind of effect on them. If I'm going through if I'm in a bad space, you know, I don't want to take it out on them. I don't want them to deal with the shit I'm dealing with. Like, I mean, for me right now, it's probably one of the worst times in my life because like, not being able to get on an airplane and just like being in a profession where you live under a microscope every day of the year, my release is to remove myself from Korea just to get away from being beneath that microscope. And whether that's taking a trip home or getting out of the country for a few days, not being able to have that
option
right now is just, for me, making me so anxious. Really? I can't go home. I can't go and see my friends and family. If I go to Australia, it's 2 weeks quarantine. I come back, it's another 2 weeks quarantine. Like, and you hear about friends and family that are going through, you know, issues with their health. And it's like, it's just like, it does your head in. So it's like, you know, you go for a walk, great. But then you start thinking and you're like, oh shit, the kids are at home and you're like, oh. So it's like, you pour yourself a drink on the sly.
You want to come crash at my place for a few days?
Well, you know, as much as the option is there, you've still got the kids at home. And it's like, you know, I can't just walk away from,
of course, yeah,
from that. Yeah, I think we're living in a situation right now where everyone's definitely on the edge, and mental health is, I don't know. I think it affects people differently, but it's really a situation that's really hard to kind of. You can't just put your finger on it and say this is the answer. Everyone has, you know, their different, you know, different mm-hmm. issues with it.
Yeah, and everyone has like a different thing to offer to the situation, I think. Like Dave, you dealt with like depression and shit well before this time when a lot of people are, right? So yeah, you're like a good person to talk to whenever somebody feels that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just actually, what I'm going to say is really negative, so I shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Just a lot of people just… Like a little life problem or something. Just I'm feeling sad. Mental health. People are jumping on this ship a little too easily now. And you know me, I've been for years and years and years, and I just don't even. I don't look at it as something strange at all. I think everybody has to deal with mental health. I mean, obviously, it's a thing. You have physical health. You have mental health. It's a thing. It's a thing. It's not something that you should. A lot of people use it as an excuse to blame things on, and it's annoying. Like, you don't like it. Well, there was a time where you don't like it. Well, then fucking deal with it. And I don't think much has changed except that we're a little bit more open to, you know, accepting that that's a thing now. There's that thing called mental health. It's a thing. Let's accept it. But I don't think you should use it as a crutch. Mm. And I don't use it as a crutch. And my depression gets real bad. Like real, you guys know it gets real bad. And I go into dark places, but I don't use it as an excuse.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, the anxiety has like an evolutionary purpose. Yeah. Sometimes it's telling you you're not going the right way.
Exactly.
I just switch it up.
I don't drink coffee anymore just because I was having freaking panic attacks earlier. Now I don't have panic attacks.
Yeah.
Anymore ever.
Wow, that's great.
I just stopped drinking coffee.
But see, that's exactly what I was saying though. Like when I went through like a super dark place a couple of years ago, I wasn't used to it because I'm always a super happy dude. And you were like, hey man, embrace the sadness. Yeah. It's part of life.
You remember that conversation, right?
I think about that all the time. I can't tell you how many people I think I've like sort of helped out of dark places. Like I always wanted, 10 years ago, I always wanted to be the friend that people could talk to.
You were like the guy who like, don't be sad.
Yeah.
Before. He was
but
like,
I can't do that.
Don't be sad. Why are you sad? You got everything. Like, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter how much things you have. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But on the other spectrum, I'm also like, yeah, but shut up. Like, I get to go through the same shit. Stop using it as… Don't blame everything on it. Wu, do you have any struggles with mental health?
What?
Do you have any struggles with mental health?
Struggles with mental health?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Just sounded like…
You ever get sad?
Do I get sad? Of course I get sad.
Real sad?
Yeah, I get real sad sometimes. Doesn't everybody get real sad?
Have you ever wanted to not be alive?
Since when I was elementary.
Since you were a kid?
Yeah, I felt that since when I was like… first grade? Second grade?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What do you remember thinking?
What you asked me, you know?
What was the first… Yeah, you're just like, oh, it'd be better if I wasn't here?
Yeah.
In first grade?
Yeah. Because my mom, she left to the States so she could provide me for a better life.
Yeah.
And I had to stay with my dad, my stepmom, and my half-brother for about 3 years, you know? And… A lot of things happened then. And then, you know, she came back to get me after 3 years. And I lived in Arizona for a little bit. And I was like the only Korean kid there. So I had to deal with a lot of racism.
And that's a reoccurring theme with all of these. Everybody that comes on our show that lived in America says that.
And that 3 years when my mom was in the States… Yeah, I have to go through a lot with my other family, you know. A lot.
What happened?
Because, you know, I went with my dad, my stepmom, and my half-brother. And I didn't really know them at all, you know. Like my stepmom and my half-brother.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
They're supposed to be family.
And so,
yeah.
I remember… I don't know if my mom would like this. But… Yeah, but…
Whatever you're comfortable talking about, you talk about. If you're not comfortable, you don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I went through some things that kids shouldn't go through at that age. Yeah. It was just difficult living with people that I didn't know at all, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, my stepmom, my half brother, and their family, they're not going to, they didn't really like me, especially the Korean culture back then, you know.
They didn't like you. Why? They were like ashamed of?
I don't know what they're feeling, you know.
I think
his grandma, she was just like yelling at me, like, you know, go back to your own family, you know.
Oh my God.
I remember that, you know.
And you already like miss your mom. So you already feel like.
Yeah.
That must have been really hard.
Korean culture, especially back then, was, I think, you know, the half brother, half sibling kind of situation with the families coming together was always a difficult environment. I mean, even now it's not great, but back then it was, yeah, really difficult for the children especially.
So I went through, I guess I first experienced depression then, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think it was more than depression. I just went a little crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was really peaceful kid, you know. And I think I became a little violent after that. Because I was fighting every day in school. I think I was just taking my anger out of, you know, whatever I can, you know.
Wow. That's a deep thought for like such a young kid to have.
And then going to the States just kind of exasperated
that. I mean, at first I was probably like the happiest kid on earth, like on the plane with my mom. I was just too happy, you know.
Because you're going on a trip with mom.
I wasn't expecting what was going to happen when I get there and go to school, you know.
Yeah.
So before I went to school, everything was just like heaven, you know, because I was just happy being with my mom, you know.
Mm.
And I go to school, you know, I can't speak any English, you know. And yeah, and then just hell started.
Because you have these grown-ups like yelling at you, go away, go back to Korea?
I don't know what they were saying.
Just kids. Just kids.
Like, but he said the grandma.
No, I know, but
that's in Korea.
That's in Korea.
You gotta keep up with the conversation.
I was listening. I thought he said the kid's grandma said, go back to your.
No.
He was happy until he went to school because he was with his mom and he was really happy. But then when he got to school, he couldn't speak English, you know, and that's when the hell started breaking.
I heard that.
That part of the conversation was in Korea. That was in Korea. That was his half brother's grandma talking.
Ah, sorry, I'm confused. Was, yeah. I thought that he was. Yeah.
First part of
this
story.
Is why you shouldn't drink too much.
Yeah, fucking up my brain.
Tell me about it. This happens like every episode.
You came here drunk, huh?
No.
When did you feel like you started to have control over your life?
When I got locked up. Yeah. Because I met some good teacher when I was there, you know. So, in a way, it's half forced. Like, you have to control yourself there, you know. Or you get pepper sprayed and get go to the hole, you know.
And control yourself. You're going to get pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
And your freedom is taken out, you know. And
Yeah,
you got to control yourself there if you want to get out safely.
Was that the first kind of, authority figure that you respected, that you really had besides your mother?
Authority figure?
Yeah.
Like
you kind of mentioned that you didn't really have much of a relationship with your father. And obviously in school, you didn't really have much of a relationship in terms of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you met someone in prison that…
Was
that kind of the first kind of authority figure?
No.
With the exception of your mother?
My boxing coach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, before I got locked up, I had… He was like my… Kind of like my dad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he taught me discipline with training and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was still doing bad stuff, you know, besides boxing. So, and he was a busy man too. So, but I think the teachers that I met in jail, they helped me a lot, you know.
And
I was
more mature. Were you taking classes? In jail, they had classes that you could take?
No, there are a lot of good people that comes in, you know, they just talk to you one-on-one. You know, they take their time. And I think the first teacher that I think it was this Korean lady. She was quite old, nun. Yeah. And she used to come and see me every week just to talk to me for an hour. Yeah. And it was so like calming, you know. And she helped me a lot. A lot of other teachers. Yeah. They taught me about life.
So you liked having that kind of structure?
Even, you know, Danny Trejo? Do you know Danny Trejo?
Yeah, the actor. Yeah,
the one who has a huge tattoo. He used to come to our place very often. And he used to tell us about his story. And he used to bring food. And I don't know. Didn't I talk about this last time?
No.
I can't remember. But… Yeah, because he was locked up where we were locked, where I was locked up as a kid, you know. And he used to just, you know, come and just, you know, tell us stories and, you know, just give us motivation. And I think he gave us some type of option, like, you know, I don't exactly remember what it was. I think it was something like, if you guys don't have any fight for a month, I'll give you guys a lowrider show on the yard, you know. Wow. And he brought like 10 cars, lowriders, like choppers. And he just, you know, he gave us like a barbecue party with the music. And we're like dancing, eating food. That's lowrider so everywhere, awesome. Like purple, green, just everything, you know.
Wow.
That's cool.
So was there ever a time where there was like about to be a massive fight breaking out and someone's like, no, we got to have this lowrider show.
I can't remember exactly.
You dumb motherfucker, don't do it.
I can't remember exactly, but we were pretty calm until that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to fuck you up after the lowrider show. We wait till Danny's show is over. I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Damn. It's kind of like first grade, second grade, having thoughts like that is, I mean, being a parent myself, having kids and you know, that's kind of scary. I mean, I've never had those thoughts myself. I mean, the closest I've had is like, I wonder how many people would turn up to my funeral. Like, but yeah, I guess… It makes me think about being a father and I need to, you know, make sure that I've got my shit together.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure that… Because, I mean, even from a young age, if you're dealing with issues like this as a parent, I've got to have my shit together for my kids and make sure that they've got a space where they can be, you know, somewhere that they can be mentally… You know, have their mental health in check and make sure that they're stable.
That's what I was going to say is when I was that like, oh, everything's okay. Don't be sad. You got it all kind of friend. I don't think I was like a good friend. Like I always wanted to be the person you could talk to when you were sad. But it wasn't until I actually like got really sad myself that I felt like I could actually be of any value to somebody who was going through something. Like the last song on my new album that I just finished was like about this night. I was just kind of like, it was like 2 years ago. It was right before my family came to visit Korea for the first time. And I was just been like, really just felt like I'd lost control of my happiness. Like I was always able to be happy and I was just losing it. I was like not enjoying being around people. I always felt like super nervous. And I remember like there was this one night where the only thing that was like calming was thinking about like not being alive. And it was like the only time in my whole life where I felt like I like kind of wanted to die. And I woke up, I like, that was the last thought I had is like, oh man, it would be so peaceful to just get out of my fucking body. And I woke up the next morning and checked my phone and it was a message from my brother that was like, Uncle Jeff killed himself last night. And my uncle, and this was like, 2 weeks before my dad and my brother were coming. And my dad's baby brother hung himself. I got cousins. He had babies. And he killed himself. And it was like this. It was almost like he killed himself while I was having these like thoughts of like suicide for the first time in my life. And I don't believe in like supernatural shit like that. But it felt crazy. Like I was in tune with him as he was committing suicide. And then like super selfishly, I was like, man, that's going to fuck up my whole like trip with my dad. Like I've been wanting to show my dad this like life that I have here in Korea. And now he's going to be super sad the whole time. You know, I've like, there was like the one thing I was looking forward to is having my dad and my brother come visit me in Korea. And I felt like that had been like taken away from me. But it actually ended up being, I don't know, like ever, that was like the turning point in my life. It was like that whole sadness that I was feeling. I felt like it's past me now, you know. I needed to feel what it was like to be sad so that I can appreciate the happiness that I have. I don't know. But yeah. And I played my dad the song that I wrote about that. And he's like, the reason I thought about this is because you said you were thinking, he said it was as a kid, he felt that sad. That makes you want to make sure you're on top of your shit as a dad. I played this song that I wrote about that to my dad. And he called me crying and was like, you were that sad that you wanted to kill yourself? You wanted to kill yourself? I can't believe you actually were ever that sad. That makes me feel like I was a bad dad. And it's kind of like you gotta let your kid feel it, you know, go through it. Everyone's got to go through it. You can't just like fake it. You can't just fake the funk your whole life and act like everything's okay.
I think from a parent's perspective, like it's tough. That's not something you want to hear. Like…
Just thinking about your kid being that sad.
That's like, as a parent, you don't want to see, you don't want to deal with your child's, you don't want to have to deal with your child's death as a parent. And you don't want to have to think of your child having to go through that pain. You don't want to think of your child going through any kind of pain as a father or as a parent. And if your child is going through those emotions, and there's nothing wrong with those emotions, but from a parent's perspective, the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm doing a bad job. That's the first thing you think. And parents are all the same. It's like, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? And, you know, you hear about Wu's story and you hear about first grade. And like, I think about William, who's, you know, he turns 5 this year. You know, he's in first grade in 2 years. And to think about that, like, that would break my heart. I'd be devastated. And we hear about kids that are dealing with those issues, and maybe they don't have parents that they feel comfortable going to and talking about these issues. But, you know, there are some young kids who have decided to take their lives. If I woke up one day and had to deal with that, even, you know, having to lose a child, whether it was through an accident, and you know, it's in the news all the time. I think I said to my wife the other night, I'd lose my shit. I would lose my shit. Even having another child, I don't know how I'd cope with that. I heard a story about a gentleman who has a few children, and he's here working for a company. He came here for work, and after being here after only a few months, his wife passed away from cancer. And obviously with COVID and everything, he's decided to stay here and didn't go back to his home country. Even with that, I'd lose my shit. I'd probably be drinking a bottle of whiskey every night. Like, I don't know how I'd cope with that.
that's the time I only think it gets out of control is when you don't accept it. Like, that's why I was so appreciative of that advice from Dave.
I think is that there are certain things in life that are inevitable. Like, my father passed away when I was, 24, 25. And that was devastating. But that's an inevitability. Your parents are always going to pass away. You're going to lose your parents. That's going to happen. It's difficult. And it'll never go away. That sadness. It comes and goes. You'll have good days. You'll have bad days. Some days you'll wake up and you'll just sit there and you'll be like, damn. And you'll just think about the good times. And that'll be your day. Your whole day will just go like that. And as much as you want to push it down and say, get the fuck back in there. It's why? That's part of who you are. That's a memory. That's your life. Sadness is, it's an emotion. We have happiness as an emotion. Everyone touts happiness. Happiness is the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, sure. It is great. But we have to be able to get through the sadness to enjoy the happiness. And not dealing with the sadness and saying, you know, I'm never going to be sad. It's never going to happen. You can't dodge it. But certain things in life are going to be inevitable.
I think that you can't really like fully appreciate life until you come to terms with death. Like you have to, like I've always said, like, I love my parents. My parents are the best. But it wasn't until, man, I woke up, this was like last year. I woke up just having this crazy dream and I was just covered in tears. Like I was like crying in my sleep. And it was this dream. I'm really happy that I remembered the dream because if I just like woke up covered in tears, I would have felt really weird about not knowing what it was. But it was this dream where I was in line with like a bunch of my friends going up this mountain. And at the top of the mountain was a restaurant. And everyone was like kind of like laughing and joking in line. And I remember kind of being like the life of the party and everyone was really, I don't know, it was just a really joyous occasion. And we're super excited to try this like trendy new restaurant. And the manager opens the door and he's like, Ryan, Saul? I don't remember which name they use. And I was like, yes, guys, it's our time. And the person, the like host looked me in the face and goes, what the fuck are you so afraid of? And I was like, what is this guy's problem? Like, I don't even know this guy. Why is he yelling at me? And everyone is like quiet. And there's like 100 people behind me in this line. And just looks at me and said, fucking get it out, spit it out. What are you so afraid of? And I just started like crying crazy. And I was like, what are you doing? Leave me alone. And he goes, what the fuck are you so scared of? And I just like screamed at him. Like, I'm scared that my mom and dad are going to fucking die soon. Okay. Like, leave me alone. What is wrong with you? Say it. And I was just like, I'm scared that my mom and dad are going to die. I'm terrified of it. And that's when I woke up. And it was like, man, I have felt so free since that day. It was crazy. And I just appreciate every moment that I'm talking to my parents and ever since then. But it was really nice to get that out, like have that release of like how terrified I am about that. I've kind of like comes to terms with it. I don't know.
Well, with all the things, with all your life experiences, everything from your childhood to prison, coming in Korea, getting into dance…
No, it's actually not prison. It's juvenile hall.
From juvenile hall.
Yeah, right. Right.
YA to coming out, getting deported, coming to Korea. And with all the stuff you know, is there, you know, do you feel like you can help people with all your knowledge? Do you ever feel like you can transfer your knowledge to people?
Oh, when they asked me about it.
Yeah.
Like recently, this young rapper… He sings and he produced music and he was just asking me about the things that I went through and I gave him my experience and, you know, he said he felt relieved because he said he had a lot of pressure. I think a lot of young artists, they have a lot of pressure to be successful early. And I told him, you know, you're going to turn 30, you're going to turn 50, you're going to turn 50. And you might realize what you really want to do when you're 50 or 60. So, you know, always think about that, because there were nobody who told me about that, because I was, I felt a lot of pressure too when I was dancing. I was doing a lot of stuff that I didn't want to do. And sometimes I made performance from how they wanted me to do. And it was just a lot of pressure too when I was dancing. And yeah, when I get a chance, if I could help, you know, from my experience, you know, it's good. It feels good. Yeah.
I look at someone like Wu and I think you'd be really good at something like social work, like helping kids in difficult situations. You've got so much life experience. You've done so many different things. I just think like young kids would look up to someone like you and be able to get so much off their chest. Like I could talk to kids till I'm blue in the face and they're going to be like, yeah, whatever. Whatever, Sam Hammington.
Do you want to do that, Will?
Help kids?
Yeah.
If I have a chance, I think it always feels good when you help someone. When you're helping someone, it's like, in a way, helping yourself. That's how it feels. And you're kind of reminding yourself when you say certain words. Because I think we will always need help until we die.
Yeah.
You know, I think, because like the kid, when they're born, they can't do anything without someone's help. You know, I think that's how it is with humans. We, you know, without help, you can't really do much. You know.
Yeah, that is, it's crazy. We go out the same way we come in. Needing that love.
In a box.
So it's like when I help somebody, it's like, it feels like I'm helping myself at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a reminder. Because I think a lot of times we forget about a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, some people think that that makes life seem like less romantic. You know, that everyone is sort of self-interested. But I kind of think that it kind of just goes to show that we're all like one big kind of family. And you get to choose the people that you help. You get to choose the people that you make you feel better for helping, you know? So yeah, I think that's a great way to think about it. I've never heard someone say the reminder thing. Mm. That's a cool way to think about it. You're reminding yourself what you might need to hear as well.
I hope these conversations help somebody out there in the podcast.
Yeah.
Listeners, since this is our last one.
Yeah.
We all need reminding at times, that's for sure.
I love watching dudes cry too, so I appreciate y'all. Whoever cries.
Is that a kink?
Love watching. That sounds like something that somebody might text, like comment under a picture of Wu. I want you to make me cry.
Make me cry.
I think I've literally commented that on Wu's. I think I've commented that on Wu's Instagram before.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on again, bro.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He always brings out such great conversation.
Yeah. You are like a magnet for amazing conversation.
Am I?
You are. I think, how many times have we had you on the podcast? It's just
three now.
Three? Four?
Three.
So that means there'll be five episodes total, right? Because we broke them into.
Yeah. So it's like, it just feels like every time we've had such deep conversations and…
Sure, I think we went too deep this time.
Yeah, we went really deep, right?
Well, I tell you what. I don't think you've ever let our listeners down at all. And I think there are going to be listeners out there this time. I mean, this episode is probably not going to be for all the listeners, but there are definitely going to be listeners out there that are going to take something away from this episode. And Wu has been an integral part of that. And people are going to be able to say, hey, you know, I feel better for listening to this episode. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome.
Especially on a special episode like today. You know, it means the world having you here. Episode 1 to episode 52.
Did you guys enjoy the adventure of this podcast?
It's been a roller coaster. We've had some ups. We've had some downs. There's been some crazy episodes for sure. Yeah. It's been fun.
I mean, I really look up to you two a lot. So it's been really great to be able to work alongside you this consistently doing something. I appreciate you guys a lot. Yeah. You're inspirational to me, as I'm sure you are to others. And a lot of the guests, like Wu as well, it's been really great to get to meet some really interesting, powerful, cool folks. Yeah. So Dave, I want to say thank you to you mostly. Thank you for introducing me to Sam and everyone at Dive. It's been really, it really helped me out a lot. I really fucking enjoyed it. But yeah, but so we appreciate Wu coming together with us for the final one.
And yeah.
It's always a pleasure to see you, brother.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with you without a microphone recording everything. I bet you got some even crazier stories.
Congratulations on your last episode.
Thanks so much.
let's do this one last time. Wu, now's the time if there's anything you'd like to plug.
Shit, I don't know right now, man.
Thanks.
Don't leave me hanging there. Jeez.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Hey, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
It's been real.
Peace.